Why is it that people are so desperate to be in Star Wars they don't care if they get minor roles?
I think it's more that, like, it's kind of cool to be a cameo. It's kind of cool to be just a a one-off, something that doesn't matter. What, who pray tell, do you...
Yeah. Well, you were talking about Freddie Prinze Jr. and Sir Michelle Geller
being in the...
In the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
And I was thinking... Rebels? Was
Star Wars Rebels.
Okay. And I was like...
Stream now on Disney Plus.
Those are really minor roles. I mean, well, no, not Freddie Prinze Jr., but...
She was a villain the whole season.
Was she?
And then Maul killed her. He's Darth Maul, I mean.
Even the guy without legs does something. Come on.
He's got robot legs.
Good thing there's no such thing as an EMP in Star Wars.
There is. It's called the Emperor.
That was good. they use ion bombs and ion blasters.
Yeah, I know. I played KOTOR a lot.
Thank you.
More than I should recently.
I don't know why, but every time I hear someone think of KOTOR, it makes me think that you should be shoving it into an orifice in some woman's body.
I'm down.
So they go to a water planet.
That's not Manon, Kamino, insert generic water planet here.
Yeah, I've already forgot the name of the fucking... There's so many fucking planets now.
Fishy.
I do like... I mean, at least they kept it kind of consistent. They're on a water planet, and there's aquatic species on it.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of fucking Quarren there, and you don't usually see Quarrens in the live-action stuff.
Or Mon Calamari.
I'm a little upset. I guess maybe it's different lines of thought. So you have the Mon Cals, and they make amazing cruisers.
Uh-huh.
But then the one that fixes the Mandalorian ship, he's just, like, really into nets, I guess. I get it was written for comedy, but can we be consistent? I mean...
I just like how he doesn't even give him an answer. He's like, I gave you 1,000 credits, and this is the best you could do. He just doesn't even look at him, just hands him the damn data pad. Like,
fucking sign. Hit the button. Get the fuck out of here. Get off my planet. You've caused enough trouble as it is already. Get the fuck out. GTFO. So, go ahead.
No, it's like they're going from set piece to set piece. Like, first we were in the desert. Now we were in the cold and the ice. Now we're in the water. So where are we going next? We're going to...
The forest.
We're
going to a forest moon. What was it? Corvus? Which... The... Imperial Corvette from Battlefront 2 is a Corvus class. So I wonder if that...
And Corvus is the main character of Dishonored, so that must mean absolutely nothing. I got nothing.
Yeah, you never do. Nothing. Ever.
Ever!
Mark, he's being mean to me.
It's true.
I'm
so
spanking.
The thing I don't understand either is everybody knows that the Mandalorians are... They're warriors. They're badass.
Right.
But yet, here we are again in another situation where these people think... I'm going to steal his fucking armor. And they would have gotten away with it, too, if it wouldn't have been for some meddling Mandalorians.
Damn meddling Mandalorians.
He charters himself out looking for the Mandalorians, and the one person that he decides to go ahead and charter the boat from decides he's going to fuck him over and throws the baby in
the whole boat. Boat was like, we're going to be rich, brothers.
Yeah. And
I don't remember Quarren's being all that about family.
Not in KOTOR.
They discuss, in the Clone Wars, there's a lot of, there's like a 4-part episode that is on Mon Calamari, their home planet. Because the Quarren's and the Mon Cals are from the same planet.
That makes sense. They're fish people.
I knew they were up to no good.
That smells fishy.
Was extremely racist.
No, it's not. They're real fish. But it seems like everybody and their brother should honestly know what a Mandalorian is. Maybe it's that thing of just like the Jedi. Like, you know, there's skepticism on the Jedi. There's skepticism on... the bounty hunting or Mandalorians.
What I want to know is, okay, so they don't really establish what the Mandalorians are doing there other than hijacking Imperial freighters, which I get.
Well, but they did.
She's trying to find her hierarchy. She's trying to find something to...
She's looking for Moff Gideon because she knows he has the Darksaber.
I just wonder why a random backwater planet in the middle of nowhere instead of the other better fortified places that the Mandalorian has been to.
Well, it's implied because they've been raiding the weapon shipments for months, they said.
Yeah, but that's what I mean, on this one random backwater planet.
But it's not.
Not guarded, though.
No, it's because it's not an Imperial planet. It's a black market planet.
Okay.
So the Imperials are buying weapons black market.
Well, aren't we fucking perceptive this episode?
It's time to pick it up.
I watched, apparently. Someone didn't. He was just like, ooh!
It was less that kind of moaning and more of the, oh, damn it, another episode with no Boba Fett.
Yeah, I understand. All right, you're forgiven.
I like Unforgiven better. It's a good movie. And Boba song. Fett.
I've been watching Unforgiven. That is such a damn good movie. Clint Eastwood at his best.
I agree. This is my vengeance to you. We're talking about Westerns now.
Whatever.
I actually think that's one of Gene Hackman's better roles, too. Like
Gene Hackman's fucking amazing in that movie.
He's the guy that comes in from nowhere and then solves the problems, and then he's gone.
Yeah, Clint Eastwood. We're talking about him.
I know, exactly.
Hmm.
Pedro Pascal.
Isn't that weird? The man with no name, and we heard talking about The Mandalorian, which to a lot of people is a man with no name. And then I also watched Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, and in the beginning of it, whenever he's fighting the blaster.
Master Blaster.
They introduce him as the man with no name.
I would have said the man with a shitty haircut, but that's just me.
He couldn't help it. He was in the wild. Can you blame
him? It was an awesome haircut.
You could just...
Well, that was why the chainsaw was hanging down.
That's
from
what I was, I'm not justifying that statement.
To cut his hair. That's what it was.
That is what it was. So, okay. They're on random backwater planet. She's hunting down Moff Gideon. I recognized her armor. I'd seen it before. I didn't even realize till after the thing was over and I started doing research on it that she was a Clone Wars character.
Yes.
I'd never heard of her. Or is that Rebels 2? I mix them up. Same art style.
No,
I mix them up.
She first came in during Clone Wars, but then she has a few episodes in Rebels.
Played by that one chick who was in that one Power Rangers thing forever ago.
Katie Sackhoff?
Yeah, her.
Is she in the Power Rangers?
When was she in Power Rangers?
You don't remember that fan film that came out that was super dark and
gritty? Oh,
she played the
fuck
Pink Ranger.
Yes, that's right. Okay. Oh, I fucking love that.
Wait, wasn't there somebody famous that played the Red Ranger?
No, Jason David Frank came back to play Green Ranger.
The guy from Dawson's Creek.
Yes.
What?
James Vanderbeek was in that trailer.
Yep, because he had changed sides.
I don't remember that, but...
Yep.
Well, damn it. You're using my own nostalgia against me.
Because they were trying to use that to make a new Power Rangers movie.
Right. They were trying to make an adult version. They wanted to make it dark.
Well, look, okay. I don't want to wait till my life is over. I don't know the rest of the song.
It doesn't matter. It's not going to happen.
You can't.
I don't
want to...
What?
You can't hardly wait. So, but yeah.
Sorry. I was just thinking about Helsing Abridged when they're about to walk into the Vatican and see the queen. She's sitting up there and he's like, just hit the button. Just hit the button. Do it. And they kick the door open. It's like, I'm a bitch. I'm a. Oh, he's like, God. Shut it off. It didn't work. It did not work.
I could almost think that somebody would listening to our podcasts. As much as we intersync with each other's inner jokes and stuff like that, they would think that we all fucking have ADD or something.
Yeah, they'd be like, why are they even doing this? Because I can't follow. Can you please, follow?
Should we establish a roadmap? A manual?
We already did. They watched The Mandalorian.
Star Wars, hello.
Yeah.
We've seen it.
Then they get James Vanderbeek out of that. Good Lord. Follow along, folks.
God damn. Have a fucking energy drink or something. Get a full 8 hours before you watch it. Listen to our watch.
Collaborate and listen.
It is cool, though. I mean, because they make reference to the Death Watch, which in season one, when it shows Din being rescued, the Mandalorian that picks him up has a Death Watch patch on his left shoulder.
I remember people making a big fucking fuss about that.
Mm-hmm. So, and because I had never looked into it, but the issue with him never removing his helmet was always weird to me because from Clone Wars and Rebels, all the Mandalorians take their fucking helmet off. Why would this one guy not take his fucking helmet off. That always bothered me a bit. But at the same time, I didn't care. I just wanted to watch awesomeness.
Agreed.
But my comment from last time still stands. The Mandalorian is a badass fucking killer until the writing does not need him to be. Until... Did you see how Bo-Katan and everyone were... When they were attacking the ship, they moved like commandos. And he's like scurrying along and his cape is going everywhere. And it just bothered shit out of me. Because he's such a badass. But now he's not all of a sudden. But then he is at the end. I don't know.
He's conflicted. It's inner turmoil. It's distracting him.
It's called shitty writing.
I would call it inconsistency, but okay.
It's shitty writing. For something this big, they can't get a character to fucking locked down.
I think they have him on lockdown. They just want it to be, how should I put it? It's the Indiana Jones scenario. Indiana Jones is the perfect character because he can kick some ass. He is pretty fucking awesome, but he also takes his lickings.
A lot.
And I think that that's what they want. They want to show you that this guy is a seasoned veteran. It's not his first fucking kill. But at the same time, they also want you to feel the humanity of, like, he's not perfect. He's going to make mistakes. And right. He's going to, you know.
Some of them are really stupid, though. Because that Quarren's like, you really need to let your kid see this. It's like, did you really not expect him to throw the kid in? As soon as he even looked at the fucking kid, you know he's going to throw him in that pit with that monster.
Maybe. It didn't occur to me. But once again.
It hit me immediately.
First viewing, I wasn't. We discussed this before. The first episode, I don't try to analyze. Like, when I watch it the first time, I just watch. Mm-hmm. I take in the story for what it is. I'll nitpick it on the second or third viewing for sure.
I normally only watch them once, so. Mm-hmm.
But I definitely understand how it's...
That's pretty...
Fishy.
Yeah.
Pardon the pun?
No. But that's my only real complaint is, you are right. In the last, this episode and the last one, the Mandalorian kind of acts like a fucking dupe for other people. Like, he gets fucked over so many times.
And he knows. He's got it.
It's unfathomable.
So, the way they have it set up in this universe is everyone has, all the Mandalorians have Beskar armor, mm-hmm. but his isn't painted. It's raw Beskar. So, he's got to understand that he's walking around with a fucking neon sign over his head going, I'm covered in very expensive rare metal.
It's like, I'm made of gold.
Right. Please try to fucking kill me and rob me. Please.
Please.
The thing that stands out a lot about the Mandalorian is you can tell in a lot of ways he's never had to worry about anyone else. And I don't know if they're trying to convey that with him. Mm-hmm. Like, he's had to think about himself and maybe the other Mandalorians in a sense. But, just don't fuck up the decree.
Uh-huh.
But as far as things are concerned, like him watching after a kid, even what little, like if you think about it in the grand scheme of things, it's not like he's been watching after this kid for years yet. You know, in the grand scheme of it, it's probably only been a month or two. So he's still kind of like trying to figure things out in a way.
Right. Well, and he's, in his mind, his quest is also to dump the child off.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to take him to the Jedi and dump him off. Bye. You know,
but at the same time, though, he has to have some kind of emotion to it because
he's
like, don't eat these eggs. Like, you know, he's trying to teach him stuff, you know, even just decency, normal decency stuff. He still has.
Yeah. Even when he hands them off to the lizard people, he's like, mind your manners.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
He's starting to act like a parent. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right.
So.
Right.
I what the hell are they going to do for it? His thing got shredded in that, his bubble that they kept him in. It got destroyed, remember?
Yeah, when I forget what the monster is that ate it, fish thing. I like how Koska's character just dove in the water. She's like, I'm on it, and then there's just blaster fire, and then she's back, and it's dead.
Yes.
She's played by Sasha Banks, who's in WWE. She's a wrestler.
I'm kind of pissy that I didn't recognize her.
Yep.
I was more focused on determining whether or not I hate to admit this, Katie Sackhoff looks a bit like Bryce Dallas Howard, and I knew she was directing
somewhat,
the episode,
yeah.
So I couldn't tell who that was.
Oh, okay.
Katie Sackhoff looked young in this.
Very young.
Like,
yep.
I've seen her, she's got a newer series on Netflix.
Yeah, Second Life, or it's a sci-fi, it's fucking crap.
Yeah, you were telling me.
I can't stand it. I've seen a few episodes, it's fucking shit.
I started watching it and dozed off.
But she's a good actress.
Right. And I looked at her, and I'm like, man, you know, she's...
Another life, that's what it's called.
Right. And she's starting to show, you know, she's starting to show her age a little bit. And when I seen her in this, I like had to like, I know that's Katie Sackhoff, but holy cow, she looks younger than the last two, three things I've seen her in.
Yeah, she looked younger than she did in Riddick, I think. That came in like 2013.
I didn't really notice.
She doesn't look as...
She was just Katie to me.
She doesn't look as young as she did in like Battlestar or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But you could tell that they definitely, they did something to her to de-age her a little bit.
The big thing...
Could have just been good makeup, too.
Could probably.
The universe right now is her boob armor. Her chest piece has...
I saw one guy getting pissy over that. I could care less.
No, same here.
It's an aesthetic thing.
She's a fucking woman. She has breasts.
But what were they saying about it?
Oh,
just
half...
how impractical it is.
Half the people are impractical, and the other half are complaining like, well, that singles her out as a woman. Like, yes, she is a woman, and she's a Mandalorian, and she's been the leader of the Mandalorian people. Did you not watch her damn near take that shit by herself?
Yeah, I will be honest. She is a strong female character done right, because nobody ever brings up that she's a woman. Not once.
No, no one gives a shit. And Koska's character, the other woman... That she does not get, like, she's eating a fucking worm thing in front of him, you know? She doesn't care. Mm-hmm. She's just as bad as Bo-Katan's character, just about. It's just one's a leader and one's a follower.
And then there's another one that's just there sometimes.
Yeah, his name's Axe Wolves.
I have subtitles on, so I usually get to see the names of people. I didn't see his name once, so he must not have had very many lines.
It's on there, but they had, those characters had more to do in the Clone Wars.
Oh, all three of them were there?
Yeah, they were. Okay. They're all together.
And it's not like they accentuated on it. It's just a divot, you know, on both of them, really.
No, it there's nothing wrong with it. Doesn't. No, I mean, I've seen enough. But you know,
just to you know, I watched the episode and I never even paid attention to it. To the
no,
point.
Exactly. The average person doesn't.
Exactly. Even I didn't even notice.
Because she's a woman wearing armor.
Uh huh.
Triggered people are just going to fucking find something to be triggered
about. Well,
and
that's the thing. That's the thing. That's why I won't spend too much time on it.
Not only that, the armor itself is very feminine. Did you not notice that she has big fucking hips and very curvaceous body type?
Well, the standard...
Even through the armor.
If you see the Mandalorian's armor, Din Djarin's armor, compared to theirs, it's not even the same.
I did notice that.
His is almost, because they go by the Creed of Mandalore, or the Watch anyway, that his is almost ancient style. And hers, how long? She said three generations.
Something like that,
for hers. So, I just, in Star Wars Rebels, they even make reference to it because they're talking about the armor. And Sabine Wren says, my armor's 500 years old.
Uh-huh.
I reforged it to my liking. But she's like, to us, to Mandalorians, the armor still retains the blood, the battle, the honor that has been received by the people wearing this armor before me. Mm-hmm. So she's wearing 500-year-old fucking armor. It's just been reforged. No big deal.
And I like how they... I love the first season showing the process of reforging Beskar. It makes perfect sense that they could just reforge it like nothing.
Mm-hmm. Well, the way it's led on is his little tribe that was hiding underground. Mm-hmm. Just like she said... Just like... what's her name? Koska said... Or Bo-Katan said it, Child of the Watch. They're a splinter religious group. They're for all intents and purposes, they're zealots. Mm-hmm. You know, they are, I won't bring it up.
I get what you're saying. But to me, I think their group of Mandalorians is more interesting and more true to what Mandalorians probably should be than Bo-Katan's is.
I'm interested in his values.
Yeah, exactly.
I am. I really am.
Because she's basically just another petty thug at this point.
Well, let's look at it from another perspective, too. He has been doing everything from his order by their rules, their standards, their creed. And now he's out in the world, and he's being challenged. Everywhere he goes, the views of him and his group, well, they're pretty much, they're all dead anyway. Because the Moff Gideon's got, right. So, I don't know. It's just the fact that that's good writing. That's character development. He's being challenged everywhere he goes. You're not Mandalorians. You took your damn helmet off. And she's like, oh, he's one of them. You know, it just, I don't know. It's enjoyable because it gives depth to the character. Everyone has got... if you wear the armor, you take your damn helmet off, you're not a fucking Mandalorian. But that falls back into their ancient belief. When the Mandalore died or was killed in battle, the next guy would take it on, and they kept the helmet on because that was the symbol. I am now Mandalore. I'm in charge. Who I was before is dead. And to take the helmet off would reveal your old identity. So how can you be... It was basically the kind of thing like, you know, the father or the daughter takes up the mantle. The son or the daughter takes up after the parent and continues the line and pretends that they are them. So to them, it was a spiritual leader thing. That's why they have that rule, I think.
Well, I don't mean to keep harping on about it, but I've been playing a lot of KOTOR 2 recently, and you can get a Mandalore on your team. And you can help him recruit other Mandalorians. And some of them are very resistant to it. Like, there's one who's like, so, if I kill you and take your helmet, that makes me Mandalore, right? And he's, your Mandalore goes, all right, Jedi, stay out of this. This is my fight. So then you switch to him, and you have to kill this other Jedi with no support. Or, not Jedi, Mandalore. So, as soon as you do, the others are like, all right, well, you're the real Mandalore. We'll follow you.
Well, that's how they... There's no ill will towards someone who defeats them in honorable combat.
Exactly.
Because they're a warrior race or a warrior people. And they're like, I was bested. You are clearly the better fighter.
And I'm glad you said warrior because they are warriors. They live for war. Yep. You know, everything they do, life and death is decided by war to them.
For the most part. Because in the Clone Wars, you realize that their planet being barren from centuries or millennia of war over and over and over has left their planet dead. It's inhospitable to life. So half of those Mandalorians decided that they were going to be pacifists. They were going to give up the old ways of combat, and they were going to try to restore the planet. And then that's when the Death Watch split off. And the Death Watch were even worse because they didn't have a code of ethics or honor. They just killed whoever the fuck they wanted to. They'd betray whoever they wanted to. They didn't care. So the Death Watch weren't even that good either. So I can see where, from the perspective of this show, that this Mandalorian, Din, is a true Mandalorian. Depending on how you look at it.
You realize, if you took out saying the Mandalorian a dozen times... Somebody who played the shit out of Mass Effect could have swore you were talking about the Krogans.
I was actually going to say something similar. Well, even the Klingons.
Yeah. Like, how many sci-fi series do you have that there is a race that's
There's
based
always the
on
warrior
war?
Race,
even
right.
Fucking Farscape has one. I can't remember what his name is, but he's the dwarf-looking dude. The big giant braided beard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
I was going to say, of all people, you should know this, Josh.
I know I should, because I fucking love
that
show. I like
Farscape. Jim Henson Production worked on that show.
That explains the puppet.
I can't. I'm on the spot, and now I can't fucking... Because I'm in Mandalorian mode, and you want me to switch to a different universe in my head. That's going to take a while.
Claudia Black? That's all I can remember
Ben
right now.
Browder? Ben Browder?
John Crichton?
John, the Peacekeepers?
That blue chick who has a name that I never remember. Scorpio. You don't remember Scorpio?
Scorpius.
The dude
Scorpius?
With the black suit.
The gimp.
Gimp
man.
He's a half lizard race. Galarin, Scorus. It's been too long since I watched Farscape.
I'm detecting a lack of scorpion in his blood.
Oh, he's the first thing you fight in Resident Evil Zero on the train. The scorpion that comes to the roof.
I'd rather fight him.
No, you're right. But I mean... Most science fiction in general is just a way for people to reflect on themselves.
And to be honest, the Klingons were really the first thing to do that, and they were based on the Cossack Russians. Okay. They were based on the USSR at the time. You know, so...
It all
turns around.
You think about that and how much, like, if you sit down and churned out how all these stories started. Like, I mean, when George Lucas wrote Star Wars, I'm sure he didn't think about... You know, the intricacies of Boba Fett when he was writing him, or even to the point, you know, when they were scripting it out, that he's just, you know, nothing more than he's a bounty hunter and, you know, he's a Mandalorian.
The only guy that I know that would go through that much detail on characters' backstories would be George R. R. Martin. He would probably write a person's complete life history
before. Just so we could fucking kill him later.
Tolkien was the same way, though.
Tolkien was very... Because I remember reading The Hobbit, and he goes on and on about Bard, and he won't shut the fuck up about his family history. I got sick of that. I skipped a couple chapters.
But yeah, I mean, it's good to have some character build, but...
there is overkill.
Yeah.
There can be too much.
But... That when I watch The Mandalorian, you know, there is so much other sci-fi that I see in it. You know, I mean, of course, there's the Western feel. Even Boba Fett, when he walked, he sounded like he was clinging spurs. The ting, ting, mm-hmm. ting as he walked.
He was based on Clint Eastwood.
Right.
So,
I mean, and The Mandalorian, of course, does the same thing in some.
Yeah,
some,
there's a, his armor makes a tingy mm-hmm. sound.
But that was how in the first season... Whenever there was a moment you seen, I believe it was somebody else in armor, and you heard them walking, and everyone was like, oh shit, that's Boba Fett. Right. Like there was a dark scene, and somebody
because he
walking.
Had the targeting computer.
Yeah, the reticule.
The antenna thing. Because when they use that, they're supposed to bring it down, mm-hmm. and it's scanning for madness. Sorry, I had to take a word out of Ed's
anywho
lines.
But, I mean... That's how powerful just a simple sound is to a lot of people is. It puts that narrative of, oh, shit, this is somebody. This is somebody mm-hmm. I'm used to. Even if it is just a clinging noise, that's your first thought. And I know they do that shit because you're going to have your diehard fans that are going to want that.
Well, even Moff Gideon makes a jingle sound when he walks. So
jingle.
It's probably his cape.
He's Santa Claus. I forgot to tell you that.
Star Wars version of Santa Claus. He's not a nice guy.
He doesn't bring presents. He brings death.
Yeah, he's just like Futurama's Santa.
He just wants to reconquer
You've
everything.
You've been a naughty boy, Bender.
Except for you, Zoidberg. Here you go.
Yeah. Hooray!
Gives him a pogo stick. Yeah. He's a goddamn fish monster man. What is pogo stick. No, fail. That's a failed gift. Anyway, Baby Yoda didn't eat any more.
He watched Birth, though. I mean,
yep.
I thought that was... I find it hilarious. He's fucking sitting there eating eggs. He's 50 years old. He's got it picked up on something by now. But he's eating these eggs. And then when he sees one Birth, he wants to take it fucking with him.
Well, and it's...
Yeah, I already have enough pets.
I have enough pets.
At 50 years old, like, it's not explained, like, what planet do they base their years on anyway? Mm-hmm. So at 50 years old, maybe he's on a planet that goes around its sun really, really fast.
Well... Franchises like Star Wars answer questions like that, and there's basically like a standard galactic
50 cycles.
Right. Or... There's a standard time. And they do that because they know every planet has a different mm-hmm. rotation, a different orbit, and they know all that stuff. So a lot of that in those kind of franchises is based on the capital world. So the rest of the universe, the rest of the galaxy runs on the time of the capital.
In this case, Coruscant.
Right, exactly. But I don't know that for certain because it's all new canon. I don't know how that changes.
That's true.
There's so much that can be touched, and every episode adds new mm-hmm. canon. And some of it contradicts already existing current canon that's been established in Rebels, probably in Resistance, in Clone Wars. There's just so much. Well, okay. The episode where you were discussing... About Sifo Dyas, the one who made the clone army.
Which I totally fucked up all that information. I'm glad you brought that up.
He teamed up with Dooku. Mm-hmm. Dooku basically lied to him and made him believe there was a conflict coming because Sifo Dyas did believe that. But once they ordered the clone army to be made, then they paid the criminal guys called the Pikes to kill Sifo Dyas. That way they could hide the secret. So eventually he would have realized that the clone army actually had a nefarious purpose, not protect the mm-hmm. Republic, but be used against it. So they had him killed. So that's what happened there. He did believe there was a conflict coming, but he was being manipulated by Dooku. He was being lied to, basically.
I just still feel fucking embarrassed that I totally fucked that up.
Yeah, it happens.
It does. It happens a lot. Anywho, Mark, thoughts?
The Mandalorian's only 3 episodes into this new season. And they've already like, the first episode was such a huge movement. We got to see a crate dragon. We got to see, you know, the armor. We got to see the man at the end. So, I mean, they built up so much on one episode. The second episode was okay. I don't mean to complain. And to be honest, like, every step more that we get going forward is that much more Star Wars we get to see. Mm-hmm. So there should be a level of excitement in me. But these last two episodes, it's just like it's maybe it's build up. And maybe that's what they want. Because, you know, now he's going to go see Ahsoka Tano. Mm-hmm. He finds out her location finally. And it just feels like this. I just hope that it pays off. I hope all this build up pays off.
That's the whole thing. Yes.
They do something good with it instead of a bunch of fanboy orgasm on my TV screen. Give me a story.
The only problem with episodes like these last two are that there's only going to be 8 episodes in this entire season, and they come out once a week.
Right. Right.
So not only do you have to wait for it, but you're not really getting that much in the first place. So you have to use what you have to the fullest, and they may not necessarily be doing that.
That's true. I mean, I see a lot of YouTube videos, too. A lot of them are... I can't argue with all of them, and a lot of them are clickbait, you know, and they...
Most of them are.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. But at the same time, I mean, I'm with Mark. I don't want to see my time wasted, you know, because I've been waiting for this season for a year.
Yeah.
You know, I've been excited about it since the end of season one. And even though the first episode of this season, which would have been Chapter 9... Even though it wasn't what I wanted, it was, like Mark said, a still very good episode.
Oh, yes.
The Krayt Dragon, you got Boba Fett and his armor, and you have no idea what his intentions are. He just walks off at the end, and you're like, is he going to follow him? Is he not? Are they going to team up? What's going on?
Well, even the first one, like, it kind of kept your... It didn't curb your expectations at all. Like, it literally, like, was so up in the air on that very first episode to the point where it was like, fuck, he's wearing Boba Fett's armor. Boba Fett's fucking dead. Like, he's really dead. Like, they really went there with it, which I would have been completely okay with, and I would have understood that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because
you would have had an answer.
Yeah, we would have known.
There would have been no more going, ooh, what if he shows up this episode? Maybe he's still in the show. No, he's dead. His body.
Krayt Dragon ate where he was fucking being digested.
Right,
yep.
You know, and so you see the fucking armor, and you're like, holy shit. Like, fuck it, Boba Fett's gone. And then at the end of it, you're like, what the fuck is Tamara Morrison walking off all scarred up for? Watching shit back like he's just chilling. Like, fuck. So, you know, I mean, there was some really high highs in that first episode just because of how fucking good they wrote around the fact that that's Boba Fett's armor, but that's not Boba Fett. Mm-hmm. But that's Boba Fett.
They tease the hell out of you.
Yeah.
You know what I think is part, not necessarily the problem, but I think probably what they're going for is that first episode raised more questions than it gave answers.
And any good story does that when you're setting up a narrative.
Exactly. But the last two episodes have done neither of those. They haven't answered anything. Well, they've said here there's a Jedi over there.
They've not really answered anything, and they've not, nothing's been, there's been no catharsis. It's just,
Bo-Katan. No,
your next quest is over there.
Exactly. Yeah. Might as well have a fucking waypoint.
Bo-Katan, like, honestly, we're waiting for him to run into a Jedi, of course. And at the same time, he's also looking for the Mandalorian so he can find the Jedi.
Well, Ahsoka's not a Jedi, though.
Well, no, not now. She left.
How would he know that? How would most of the
And I get it, but I would. Bo-Katan knows her personally. I would assume Bo-Katan would know.
Mm. Well,
but whatever.
And maybe this is the thing that brings her back to the Force. But anyway, like, Bo-Katan should have been such a more. Like, finding Bo-Katan should have been like. It should have felt good for her. Fans.
It should have been more cathartic than it was.
Right.
Because the whole time they're at odds. They not once do their philosophies click in a way that matters.
And to the point, like, you know, I have not watched Rebels and I have not watched the Clone Wars all the way through. Mm-hmm. I started watching the Clone Wars when it very first came out, but I didn't finish it.
It's hard. The first couple seasons are hard to watch.
And then when Rebels come out, I was just like, oh, it's just another... kid Star Wars. It's just more to keep children watching. But I've heard
just
people...
real quick, I will argue with you on Rebels, especially Rebels, because it's not even Clone Wars, the later seasons, they're not kid-centric.
Well, that's what I was getting ready to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The more I heard about it later on, it was a... No, this is more Star Wars for... We're not getting the live-action shit. This is as close to right, it as what you're going to get.
Right, because Disney wasn't in the picture yet.
It's kind of like Batman the Animated Series. Like, Batman the Animated Series is really fucking good. And we knew that as kids. But we weren't getting that kind of content after 89 Batman and Batman Returns. Like, none of that was going to happen after that. But the animated series gave us close enough to it to where it was like, eh, this is some good shit. Like, this is Batman at his core. And I'm sure that, you know, both of those series are Star Wars at their core. And I should have been a little bit more appreciative towards that, but it was just...
I would say Rebels, for sure, is definitely more old Star Wars at its core. Even the lightsabers are thin like they were in A New Hope. So,
That's cool. Well, and they were based off Ralph McCurry's concept art.
They're like pencil thin.
Yeah,
they come to the almost. The lightsaber battles were good.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with Ahsoka, she's amazing. And I mean, and you get in with the lore. So Ahsoka has two white lightsabers.
Silver,
white. No, they're officially white, not silver.
Really? They changed that?
What happens is. Basically, the kyber crystals are, in accordance with the Force, they're alive.
Yeah, I remember they retconned that. So yeah. Whatever alignment you are is what your lightsaber changes to.
So in order for a Sith to get a red lightsaber, they're no longer synthetic. What he has to do is he has to defeat a Jedi and then corrupt his kyber crystal out of his lightsaber, which then cracks the light. It cracks or whatever, and it basically bleeds. Because it's alive in the Force. So the red light, it becomes a red crystal, creating a red blade because it's been corrupted by the dark side. Someone like Ahsoka will take those red crystals and she can heal them, and that makes them white. Because they're clear, depending on where you look at it. So that's one of the things that gets a little on my nerves.
I agree, because that's not like a terrible backstory for them or anything, but the one they had was perfectly fine. Like,
yeah, I got
at least in Vader's, a synthetic crystal makes more than perfect sense for him. And I feel like the whole making the crystal bleed is an excuse for, well, why didn't Anakin's turn red a bunch?
Right, I gotcha.
So,
and that could be. Well, there's all kinds of plot holes, because the episode with Sifo Dyas where they're investigating his murder, Obi-Wan and Anakin on the Pike planet fight Dooku. And this only takes place weeks before
Revenge of the Sith.
Right.
And then when Revenge of the Sith comes around, he's like, finally we meet again.
Right. And he's like, my powers have doubled since we last met Count. So there's a billion and one plot holes that exist in there. And you pretty much have no choice but to just overlook them.
Pretty much.
And there's so many of them. Like, the whole lightsaber canon, that comes from the Darth Vader comic. That's where all that information's coming from. And there's a lot of shit going on in the Vader comic. There is so much going on. So they're changing stuff, adding lore. There's so much new lore. And you got to remember, too, even Lucas has taken other characters that were written by other authors, and then he brings them into the story, and he scraps their histories and does what he wants with them.
I didn't know that until recently, but that's what he did with Boba Fett.
Yep.
So, because he was originally called Jasta Mareel, and then he's like, well, actually.
Mm-hmm. He was actually in the,
Christmas special?
He was in the Christmas special, and he was also in the animated.
The animated segment was from the Christmas special.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, they were going to make an animated show on it, too.
Oh, okay.
They did have an animated show. Mm-hmm. The droids had their own animated show. I forgot about that.
I kind of refused to watch those.
I've never seen them. I've seen the Christmas special twice. Once when I was a kid, and it was on, like, Channel 13 late at night one night, and somehow they had it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but I do not remember watching all of it as a kid. All I remember is seeing Chewbacca and a family. I remember seeing that. In fact, it may have been when they used to air Battle for Endor back in the day.
Right.
Because Battle for Endor, both of those movies, the Ewok movies, what the hell was the name of the other one? Caravan of something or other. But they had both of those too, and I loved those movies when I was a kid. Damn it, those were both cool as shit. Caravan of Courage or something like that. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I remember seeing that then, and then like probably 15 years ago, somebody posted it on YouTube, and I tried watching it, and was like, "Oh my god, it's cringeworthy. It's got Bea Arthur in it.
It's so terrible."
And
like,
I love Bea Arthur, but oh my god,
pours a guy's drink in his head.
Fucking Bea Arthur, Art Carney, fuck, what's his? Too many people. It's like a Nick at Night reunion, just Star Wars themed. Yeah. Have you ever watched JonTron's thing on that? You really should. He tears it up.
He has a 7-part episode, all based on Star Wars games, board games, handhelds, everything. So you ever get
it's pretty genius.
Check them out. They're pretty good.
Damn. Oh, have you heard about? Because people are throwing a fit. Well, this is what George Lucas is wanting to do with Star Wars now. Have you heard what he's doing with that?
No. What?
Darth Maul and Darth Talon are to be the new villains.
Oh, okay.
Maul ain't got no legs.
When is this going to take place? Because Maul's dead.
Well, they're wanting... Oh, my God.
Obi-Wan killed him in Rebels. Obi-Wan didn't want to. He didn't want to fight him. But Maul was so consumed with revenge... He couldn't help himself. He was like, I have to kill Obi-Wan. He's been wanting to kill Obi-Wan forever.
He took my legs.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And that's kind of the worst part. That's so petty. Darth Maul kind of deserves cooler than that.
Well,
I mean, the fight, the whole one-hit duel was badass.
It's three hits.
Was it? But Darth Maul's cooler than that.
I still, episode one has got some really terrible parts in it.
Mm-hmm.
But watching Obi-Wan and Maul fight is still pretty fucking cool.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole fight is amazing, but it is specifically after Qui-Gon dies and they just fucking tear each other up. It's only a couple, not even a minute long, but that's one of the best lightsaber fights there is.
I love that kick to the forehead and he fucking just does a flip from it. And it's
he just rolls with
it. He's like, ah! He's just pissed.
Well, and that's a big driving force in Maul's character for the animated shows, because he was literally at the height of his power,
mm-hmm.
and he only had up to go. But being a dark side user, he let his arrogance get in the way. And he pretty much believed he had...
the high ground?
Right. Thank you. See what I'm saying? Plot hole contrivances are fucking everywhere.
Oh, yes.
Obi-Wan learned. It's like, I'm not going to stand over a fucking hole and let you cut me in half, bitch.
So... but also, it's also implied, and then through other forms of canon, that Sidious did not teach Maul everything. What?
Anakin. He stole Maul's legs, and took Anakin's legs. What is the deal with him cutting people's...
You know what, though?
...lower appendages?
Do it.
Vader got his fucking vengeance when he fucking cut Obi-Wan in half. He took his legs.
Well, he didn't cut him, though. He vaporized before.
He turned into the Force.
Yeah, he turned into the Force before that, because he's just... he's gone. Obi-Wan was like, oh, no, motherfucker, you're not getting yours, bitch.
I chalked that up to shitty editing and bad special effects, but I'll take it.
What's funny,
it was 1977.
Because he does step on the robe going, you are really gone, right? This isn't a trick.
This isn't a fucking Jedi trick.
Fucking pisses on it, lights it on fire.
He actually, well, more lore established, he does take Obi-Wan's lightsaber, and he actually makes a mantle for it.
See, when I was a kid, before even episode 2 had come out, I looked at Luke's lightsaber, and I was like, that looks exactly like Obi-Wan's. I thought he took Obi-Wan's lightsaber and turned it green. That would have made all the sense in the world to me. But
as a kid, right?
Yeah. But no, they're not the same lightsaber.
Well, of course, I mean, there's... once again, the Kyber crystal. Where was there any reference of fucking Kyber crystals and lightsabers? Mm-hmm. But now we talk about it like those are fucking... it's because it is canon, but...
well, you remember before the new canon was changed? Kyber crystals were what powered the Death Star.
That's still...
Oh, they haven't changed that?
No.
Okay.
They've changed the means and stuff like that about it, but they still collect Kyber crystals. But now they're... the way it's written now, kyber crystals are actually power sources and not just...
so they're dilithium crystals now.
But a dilithium crystal in Star Trek is not a power source. It only streamlines the matter-antimatter stream. I'm going nerd here, but it's not a power source. It's basically like it's a lens. It focuses the energy stream.
I believe you. You know more about Star Trek than I do. You tell Scotty that. Because anytime anything power-wise goes wrong, it's always the dilithium crystal's fault.
But that's what I'm talking about. It's new canon.
Yeah.
The canon.
Exactly.
Over time, everyone's like, well, that's a stupid idea. It's mm-hmm. like, it's too late. The 1969, the episode fucking aired. He already said it.
Did you not see the Doomsday
it's
Machine?
It's too fucking late. It's too late. You can't change shit. Now, you could say, like, Next Generation, since it takes place so many years after new technologies, you could go that route, but...
Either way, it's like a reverse effect. I'm not even going to get into it, but I don't like retconning for the sake of making it different than it was. If it improves the lore, fine.
Right.
I do not feel that this improves the lore.
Mandalore.
That
goes back to the Mandalorian. There's new lore involving him and his religious sect or his creed ways, but it adds to the lore. It doesn't take away.
I agree with that.
And it doesn't change any other Mandalorians. It's just like saying they're just a different church and they do things differently.
Which, okay, I'm glad you brought that up, because I think that's my problem with this episode is, instead of Bo-Katan explaining why they are the way they are, she's just like, oh, he's different, whatever. You want to help us? She doesn't try to convince him. She's just like, well, I'm going to take Mandalore. You want to help?
Because probably she knows. I mean, honestly, if you knew, okay, so if you've been in the game as long as she's been in the game, and she said, oh, he's one of those, I mean, it's obvious she's ran into those.
Yeah, no shit.
She already knows.
It's like, you know, trying to explain to, you know, a Catholic that Mary's not the shit. You know, I mean, they've got their opinion about it and stuff like that.
Go into any church right now and go to the preacher or the reverend and then try to convert him to Satanism.
I have my Satanic Bible in my car. Don't think I won't. I've done this before.
But my point is, did you successfully, you know, in sit down for 5 seconds on a boat in the middle of the ocean to be like, oh, you're a religious crazy person. You should do things our way.
Like, shit's going down.
And then he's just like, okay.
Alrighty then.
I just feel that it comes at the expense of the audience. We don't get the release of them debating their ideologies. Instead, it's just
right.
Side.
Well, I believe it's going to, it'll come.
I think you're right.
It'll come in more later.
When he takes that off and he's a smelly boot smelling motherfucker.
Well, bootstrap Bill.
I don't think, really honestly, we didn't need that in the middle of what was going on to begin with.
Right.
And she said what she said, and he said what he said, and really there wasn't nothing really to argue. What's he going to say, like, no, my way's better? And she's going to go, but no, my way's better. You know, because, right. I mean, they both apparently...
Here's the thing. Okay, this is actually something that confused me while I was watching it. How does he not know about them? Why does she know about his clan, but why does his clan not know about her?
Well, and
he
that,
wasn't born into it, though.
But that's what I'm saying. He wouldn't have at least asked what happened.
Well, you have to remember, too, there's other lore that's only touched on, but not fully explained. They discussed the Purge on Mandalore.
Yeah.
And that's it.
It's mentioned.
But they don't go in. There's no in depth. Disney, just like they've always done, and other companies, they're expecting you to learn about the lore from another source.
Mm-hmm.
They expect you to already
it's like,
be
hey,
an expert.
You need to buy our comic book and video game that explain it all. But if you noticed, this episode is actually 5 or 6 minutes shorter than the last two.
It was pretty short.
They could have easily just put it in. I get it, pacing and all that. I'm not even arguing anything. I'm just trying to say I feel that it's a loss.
Well, I got it.
It gives back build. It's a backstory.
Constructive criticism.
we'll tell Bryce Dallas.
We'll let her know. Let me text her real quick.
We'll fax it to her.
Hey, my brother's fucking pissed.
I understand why they wouldn't go through it because, you know, she automatically assumes, like, oh, he's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly... It's like walking up onto any religion or any sect of human being and them being feeling a different way about something. If you really don't want to argue or, you know, get down to the semantics of it, you just look at each other and go, meh, we're different. Meh. But you can tell he's conflicted. You can tell he's kind of like, these guys ain't like me. Mm-hmm. They ain't the real deal.
Well, he thinks that, but then when they attack the ship, they move as a precise unit. They know right where to go, and he's kind of fumbling around a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And I think that kind of changes his mind a bit. I'm just assuming.
But he does prove himself, though.
But yes. Yeah, he goes balls to the wall, mm-hmm. which was awesome. That part was cool.
I concur.
But, I mean, it was also absolutely reckless. Dude, I almost think they pressured him into it.
Like, that's what it feels like, is yes. that she's pushing him.
Because they're like, we can't get there. And she's like, we're falling fast, 10,000 feet, mm-hmm. you know. And then she's like, we have to get to that cock, you know. And none of them really make a move. They kind of like, pew, pew. It almost feels like he was manipulated.
That is the vibe I got. And I'm pretty sure that's what was going on.
Yep. That's what I feel.
I feel like she was going too fast about it, because the whole point of that, I think, more than to get rid of the Imperial shit, was to get him on her side.
Right.
And she just went about it in the worst possible fucking way. Nobody likes being manipulated.
Number one, when the Quarrens are about to kill his pet,
uh-huh.
and then out of nowhere, are you telling me you can't hear three Mandalorians fucking rocket jets like 5 minutes before they get there? Yep. How do they stealthily drop out of the sky? That he's like, you killed my brother. You what is that damn noise? Oh, shit. No, but she delivered a line fucking amazing. He didn't kill your brother. I did. And then instantly all four of them, blasters out. They fuck everybody up in a fucking 60 feet radius.
It's glorious.
And then she's like, let's get a drink.
I do say, like, you know, when they dropped in on the ship, you know, you're saying they went unnoticed, or you're saying afterwards,
it's nighttime, they're at the dock, there's no ambient noise going on, like, you killed my brother on the boat, we're gonna kill your pet and get revenge, and then out of nowhere, three Mandalorians are like, ta-da! No fucking rocket sounds at
plot
all.
Plot build.
Well, it's plot armor, I gotcha.
Right.
It's just me being a picky-ass, whiny bastard.
Well, it's like Godzilla 2014. How did he sneak up on the giant fucking monster when he himself is right. a giant fucking monster?
Well, even wearing all that armor, Mandalorians are very stealthy mm-hmm. when they have to be.
Very sneaky, sneaky.
Well, none of the armor interconnects with other pieces, so there's right. nothing for it to clink on.
Right, which is also kind of silly because then you're not fully protected. You just have a couple chunks.
That's what pissed me off about Boba Fett. His stomach, his sides, his ribs, everything is fucking exposed.
Yep.
Why?
Why not? Like, you could get he exposes everything except for his head and maybe a little bit of upper torso area mm-hmm. and his shoulders.
Oh, don't forget his knees. He has knee guards.
The only argument I can make is that Beskar is expensive and probably rare.
It's Boba Fett.
I guess he has chest armor. But still, like, looking at Boba Fett, like, maybe he's just that fucking good.
He's clearly that fucking good.
You know?
There ain't no doubt about that.
Yeah, he flew right into that hump. Jabba's barge and fell in a giant vagina with teeth in the sand.
You mean your mama?
She's your mother, too. We've been over this. How many times?
Every time.
And even Lucas has expressed a little bit of regret about how he finished off Boba mm-hmm. Fett. And once again, we had a whole episode where we just fucking gushed and complained about Boba Fett being a completely unutilized. I mean, there was so much potential for Boba Fett's character.
I think he was perfect in Empire Strikes Back. Very little action, but when he showed up, you knew there was fucking business going down. But then in Empire, he's just kind of there. Or not Empire, Return of the Jedi. He's just kind of there.
Gushy fanboy here. What if he pulled out a fucking lightsaber? Like, while they're fighting on the barge and Luke's trying to break free and he's got the rope that he, you know, and then Boba
Luke,
Fett.
Yeah, Luke cuts the rope and then Boba Fett pops out a fucking lightsaber.
Pulls out a fucking lightsaber. Where'd you get that? And he's like, I've killed many Jedi in the past or something. And, I mean, and of course Luke being the supposedly best swordsman in the fucking galaxy easily dispatches Boba Fett. But then he goes down like a hero. But
just anything. Even Jeremy Johns had the idea of, instead of having Boba Fett be on Tatooine, have the Empire hire him to protect the shield generator on Endor. Then he and Han could have a proper fucking showdown.
Okay. That'd be cool.
I'm fine with either.
Yep. Oh, it is official canon. Rex the clone, mm-hmm. is the soldier that was on top of the door. Remember he had the white beard? Yeah. That is Rex.
I've heard people say it is. I've heard people say it isn't. Personally, no. I don't care.
I'm just saying, in Star Wars Rebels,
yeah,
they confirmed it. So that's now, that's officially a clone, surviving clone, all the way to the Battle of Endor. And it was Rex.
That just raises other questions, but I ain't going to get any answers.
No, once again, fan service. Uh-huh. And it, instead of trying to make a single cohesive...
Man, it's not like there could be two people who look a lot like that with bushy white beards. Damn.
Especially being a clone.
See, we're back to Santa Claus again.
Santa Claus is a clone. Confirmed.
My little Ewoks, what do you want for Christmas? Destroy the shield generator? I guess. Here on Kashyyyk.
And that's when Kashyyyk bothers me, too, in the movies versus books. Old canon. Because there's no beach. It's quite literally a fucking planet covered in giant trees. There's no beach. There's no rivers or oceans. It's a fucking wood... It's a woodland planet.
Is that how you prefer it?
In my mind, yeah.
Because in Knights of the Old Republic, you go to Kashyyyk, and it is nothing but trees kilometers high. In fact, it's almost forbidden to go to the roots of the trees.
Right.
There's huge fucking monsters down there.
Yep.
One of them gets you go down there on a mission, though.
You do. You have to go down there, whatever. You're hunting down another Wookiee, but that Wookiee is being hunted by Mandalorians.
Okay.
So you have to take them out. But these aren't normal Mandalorians. In fact, the one that's on your crew is like, these aren't my people. These are fucking cowards. Because the only way to draw them out is to find a circle where the Wookiees have been killed, take all your weapons off, and then they show up. You actually have to disarm yourselves before they'll even attack you.
Oh, okay. Wow, they are chicken shits.
Exactly.
That's not real. They're like reverse predators.
Oh, how it should have ended. One of their oldest, have you ever seen them on YouTube?
Mm-mm.
Oh, they do little cartoon skits.
Yeah. It's called How It Should Have Ended. They do one where the whole Predator army guys are like, oh my god, it won't fight you unless you have a weapon. So they all throw their guns down, and the Predator's like, and he picks up a gun. He's trying to hand them a gun, and they won't take it, and he's getting all depressed. So, yeah, they're reverse Predator Mandalorians.
That's exactly what they are.
All right, take your armor off. Take your guns down. All right, slit your own wrists. Get in that bathtub. All right, they're pretty weak. Let's go, guys. Let's get them. Yeah, we got them.
We're badasses.
We defeated them. We're so amazing.
Ridiculous.
Shoot yourself in the head. Yes. Got him.
Whatever. That sounds like a shepherd after he convinces Saren to do that. Effect.
Yeah, and he's like, thank you, Shepherd.
Shepherd's over here like, yes.
I did it. And then Sovereign's like, taking control. I just wanted to be annoying. But anyway, it's still a neat episode. Once again, it still feels like...
We're not complaining. We are just wishing a little better out of it.
Yeah, that's all. That's all.
Just a little bit
of
focus.
We're just disappointed. We're not mad at you.
Exactly.
We're just disappointed.
That's a pretty apt description.
I don't know. I'd rather my parents be mad at me than disappointed. You know what I mean? But anyway, I don't know. I did like... They definitely separated this Imperial Remnant from the Empire. Because Moff Gideon was like... Yeah, how much of the ship they taken? Everything but the fridge. Fridge.
There's a six-pack and ham in there, damn it.
And the Moff's like, that was my lunch. But, you know, all but the bridge. We need reinforcements. He's like, if they've taken that much of the ship. Mm-hmm.
Shit's gone down, motherfucker.
I don't think that's going to happen. You know what to do. Long live the Empire.
I'm surprised there was no self-destruct, but again, plot armor.
Well, see, and that same thing. So he kills the pilot and security officer, and then he jumps on the controls and he nosedives the ship, right? Why didn't he destroy the controls after that?
Because he threw down his gun. You didn't see that part?
You know, if there's no self-destruct and you don't want him to take the ship, then aim it down towards the ocean and then you destroy what you can so they can't control it. But whatever. Once again. And there's also the argument, too, like, he didn't have that much time either.
Did you Did you guys notice that the captain was he was one of those, hey, it's that guy? Titus Welliver?
Yep, Titus Welliver.
Okay, yeah. I'm glad you said, I was actually just about to bring that up. When I first saw him, I thought, what is his name? Mark Hammond from NCIS? I thought that's who it was. What's his name?
We just said
Titus Welliver.
No, I'm the guy I was talking about.
Yeah, I think that's who it is you're talking about, yeah.
No. Anyway.
Yeah, Mark Hammond does one of the NCIS characters.
Yeah. But that's who I thought it was.
Oh, okay. Well, you were wrong.
I was wrong.
But that dude's been in a lot. I mean, like, the funny thing is I just seen that he was actually cast in NCIS. I'm now looking him up. But yeah, he was in an NCIS episode or two there. But Total Recall 2070, the TV series.
There was a TV series?
Yes, mm-hmm. It was on Showtime. That was a long time ago.
1999.
Yep.
Yep.
Did he get his ass to Mars?
Nobody knows.
Different show. It was about memories, and this guy was trying to get correct. Don't watch it. Just stick with the Arnold Schwarzenegger one.
Don't watch the Colin Farrell one either while you're at it.
Just
forgot. Read the book.
That one's not bad.
I forgot that either. They did that. Totally Face. Yeah. I bought that stupid thing on, like, whenever Family Video had, like, a big movie sale one time, and it was like, buy these 7 movies for, like, $1, you know? And I ended up with that in a pile. Totally.
It belongs in a pile. It's not the worst movie, but it has nothing to do with either the book or the first movie.
It's its own thing, for sure.
And it's not great. Bryan Cranston's in it. He's pretty good.
Bryan Cranston is in it. Bill Nighy's in it.
Bill Nighy. I used to give him so much shit for his speaking methods.
The funny thing is like, whenever I still hear his name, I know who the actor is, I've seen him in a billion things, and the first thing I want to say is, the science guy,
yeah, oh,
after his name. Bill.
Every time I hear Bill Nighy, I just hear him saying, bootstrap Bill.
He will always be Slotty Barfast.
What?
To me.
From Hitchhikers.
Okay.
Yeah, he's the guy that built the Earth. What's your name? You just have to trust me. Trust the guy that won't give me his name? It's Slooty Barfast. Come with me, or you'll be late. He's like, what? Late. Deceased. In peril. Impending doom.
I haven't seen that in forever. Fuck. Well, oh, I also love him in Hot Fuzz.
He's in all of those, movies. He has a character in all of them.
And he's his stepdad in Shaun of the Dead, yep. Wasn't he?
Yeah, that's right.
I forgot about that.
Took his jag.
Yeah,
and he does the voice of the aliens.
Yes, in At the World's End.
At the World's End. Yeah. Yep. So he's in all of them. What are they called? It's a trilogy based on the ice cream.
Cornetto trilogy.
Yeah, the Cornetto trilogy. That's it. Yeah, that's pretty neat.
It's funny because I can only really watch the first two back to back.
See, at the World's End, was that the bar? That's the one where
the bar crawl. Hopping.
Yeah,
the bar crawl for
and
sure.
And they're trying to save they're trying to save themselves, but yeah.
They end up depressing the alien overlords and they fucking leave. It's like, well, if you don't want us, fuck it. I guess we'll leave.
He finds his true calling.
Yep. Running around with 4 droids, killing motherfuckers, I guess.
Oh.
But whatever.
Well, gentlemen, I want to bid this episode an adieu.
Peace out.
Au revoir.
Let's do it.
GamerDA.com is our website. You can go there and find our podcasts and any other content that we are currently creating.
You can DR our gamer A's.
No. We're not D'ing any A's on the gamer site.
That doesn't make sense.
Twitter at... I almost said Twitter or Facebook 1. Twitter or gamer DA 1.
Facebook at gamer discretion advised.
And you can email us at podcast@gamerda.com.
You sure can, and you should.
You better.
You better.
Or you'll die.